Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Welcome to the program today. I don't want to delay. I want to get into the message that we started on Monday and get you as far along each day this week as we can. Here is a message that deals with how we feed. Here is when the bitter becomes sweet.
Go ahead and punch me again, preacher. That's because we'll even admit it. That's what I need. I need you to run a lawnmower over my feet. I need it. Apparently, I got so many problems. I need you to do this. I need you to smack me around. And yes, I'll be back next week, because if I don't come back next week, I'll go to hell. And that's how we get people to come back, right? Fear factor. We go to hell if you don't come back. No joy in it. No acceptance in it. That's why we're so happy we got stepped on. Because obviously we needed stepped on. We needed punched. We needed smacked. We are so accustomed to calling condemnation conviction that when we get condemned in the church, we'll amen it and call it God's conviction. We don't ever even look to see if it includes Jesus and what he has done. Did you know a lot of sermons, the only time you hear about what Jesus has done is when you're sufficiently feeling the flames of hell right before the invitation? Only then do you ever hear that Jesus did anything to change your life? How are we expecting the church to go out and touch the world and offer them something worth going after if the church leaves so bloodied? They got to lick each other's wounds all week long just to make it. You know, this is the reason why there's a lot of support groups and cell ministries and small group ministries in the church. I am not against small group ministry. I am not against cell ministry. I'm not against care church ministry. As a matter of fact, the bigger our church gets, you'll probably see a little bit more of that stuff grow. But they have to grow out of the center. Okay? They have to grow. They can't grow from... If you're going to a church and you got little cell ministries and you're more excited about the cell ministry than you are the pulpit ministry, there's already a backwards doctrine being preached. Because we're already more excited about licking each other's wounds than we are about going into church. The central figure in the church should be the preaching of the loveliness of Jesus and fall over into every other ministry that is ever born out of that ministry. So it should spring forth like the wounds of the blood and water from Jesus' side, so flows forth every ministry from the church that will do any good. The others will only do bad because they will de-emphasize Christ and emphasize support. Listen, Christianity is not prop up. You come to church, I prop you up. You know, we stand our hand behind you and go, oh, you're going to be okay? You're going to make it? You're going to be all right? What do you need? We'll help you. Okay, here's your buddy. Here's your buddy's cell phone number. This is your church buddy. And then if you get in trouble this week, call your church buddy. Okay, your church buddy's got a direct line to heaven. He'll pray for you. And you guys get each other home, okay? You guys get each other to heaven. All right? We're doing this stuff all the time. And some people are looking at me, Pastor, how did you know? I know what's happening. Been there. Saw it. Used to think it was the only way to do church. It's a good idea. There's no way these people will make it all week long if they don't get some help. You know what we really believe? Let me tell you what you really believe. We really believe that we are better at helping you live right than the Holy Ghost in you is. The preacher thinks he's better at it. This care group thinks they're better at it. Your cell phone buddy thinks he's better at it. You don't need Jesus. You just need another cell phone, buddy. You just need more help. You need more prop up. Christianity is not prop up. Now, nothing wrong with support in church. Nothing wrong with cell ministry. They must spring forth out of the loveliness of Jesus. And I think the litmus test is, how excited are we to hear of the loveliness of Jesus on Sunday? How excited are we to hear of his loveliness in church so that the group we're in feeds off of what's been offered, not feeds off something different altogether. Got to go out and get our own thing because we're not getting fed in the church. Understand? Now, what's happening to us? We are taking the bitter cup, drinking it until we call it sweet. Now, here's what the end result is going to be. The end result is going to be a Christian life of works and misery where you are constantly trying to find another emotional high. This is why we'll go run after everything we can find, wherever we can find it, because somebody gave us a goosebump. And our Christianity was built on somebody else doing for us what Jesus isn't doing for us.
And so we'll desperately need to go follow after until Christ and His finished work is the least cool message we can preach in the church. Now, I use a very secular term there, but let me say it this way, and using that same vernacular. There is nothing as cutting edge and cool as the finished work of Jesus. Nothing as beautiful and as... because it's so path-breaking, it's so revolutionary. The moment you embrace the finished work, you are already unlike so many other people. You want to be unlike everybody? Because it's amazing how churches are always springing up, and they're the one. They got it figured out. We're the fresh one. We're the new one. We're the cutting edge one. We're the cool one. We're the youth one. We're the country one. We're the rock one. We're the rap church. We're the nightclub church. We're whatever. There's always trying to do something as a gimmick or a trick to get people to come that aren't being reached elsewhere. That's what we say. We say, well, nobody's reaching them. It's because nobody is taking the load of their works off and putting it onto the finished work of Jesus. That's why they're not being reached. Not because nobody will rap to them. Not because nobody will have a nightclub during praise and worship. But because nobody will take their heavy burdens, put it on someone else that's already borne them, and show them that God is love and Jesus is lovely. This is a cross-cultural, cross-gender, cross-economic barrier message. It knows no boundaries. I know this for a fact because I've lived it. The followers of this ministry, the people that are being fed, that are giving from all over the world, are Presbyterians and Methodists and Lutherans and Catholics and Nazarene and Church of God and Church of Christ and non-denominational, and you name the stripe, people are coming out of it. Because we're sitting in a Laodicean church who has a hot message for sinners and a cold message for saints. Jesus' grace will save you, but then you got to go to work. And Jesus calls it mixture. So what does He have to do at the final church? Knock on the front door and get people to let Him back in. And you know what? It's the only church in Revelation that He doesn't say if the church will open up. It's the only one He says if men will open up. Because in the final hour, people are coming out from everywhere to say, sir, we would see Jesus. Praise God. That is us taking the bitter and calling it sweet. Would you like to know that the Lord takes your bitter and changes it to sweet? Look at Exodus chapter 15. You're already in Numbers. And many of you know exactly where we're going. But let's read it again anyway, because faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the Word. And it's beautiful to see it all over again. Are you still with me tonight? Pastor Paul's on a roll tonight, right? Middle of the week, Wednesday night, man. I couldn't wait for you to get here, share you some good stuff about Jesus. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they were 3 days into the wilderness, and they found no water. Now, 3 days in the desert's a long time ago without water. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They're thirsty. All right? They're not just whining. They're thirsty. And when they walk up to verse 23, they come to Marah, and they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Now, the word Marah in the Hebrew, can you guess what it means? Bitter. You are astute bunch of Hebrew students. You knew it by the inflection, Marah. You didn't even need to read the verse. You know, oh, well, that's bitter, Pastor. The people murmured against Moses and said, what shall we drink? Why can't they drink the waters? Because it's bitter. And when you've been used to God doing, when you're used to the real deal, bitter won't work. Okay? When God parts your Red Sea and sends you across on dry ground, bitter will not work anymore. You're going to have the real deal. And by the way, free nugget. Here's snowflakes and raindrops of God's goodness. You and I've shared this with you before, but you know Old Covenant, God always got you through. Red Sea walked you through. Fiery furnace walked you through. You Isaiah, you walk to the waters, I'll walk you through. You walk to the fire, I'll walk you through. New Covenant, God always walks you over. Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto thee. And Jesus said unto Peter, it is I. Come. And while law walks you through your problems, grace walks you over. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Ah, that excites me. Hallelujah. And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. What was Jesus crucified on? A tree. So you think this is probably coincidence though, right?
which when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Notice that the test was not them. The test was the tree. The test was not on you. The test was on Jesus. The test was throw the tree in, not throw your works in. When they hit bitter waters and the water hit their tongue and they spit it back out, they needed the water to be redeemed. And so what did God do? Cut down a tree, throw the tree in the water. When the tree touches the water, every bitter area of your soul, inject the finished work of Jesus and the bitter waters are made sweet. If you're bitter against your family, put Jesus Christ and His loveliness into the midst of your family and your bitterness turns sweet. If you're bitter against your boss, put Jesus Christ and His loveliness. You say, Pastor, how do I put Jesus Christ? My boss won't listen to Jesus Christ. I don't mean run in and start yelling about the cross. I mean let that which causes your rest to be the loveliness of Jesus. Bring joy and acceptance back to your offering. Otherwise, you're going to have to drink the bitter cup. All right, now come, let me bring us to a close with one more passage. I'm so excited anytime I get to see Jesus did so that you get the opposite, right? Jesus was made naked so you could be clothed in robes of righteousness. Jesus was made to be poor so that we could be made rich. Jesus was cursed so that I could be blessed. Jesus became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus had the crown of thorns pressed into his skull so that the cares of this life would never hit my brain. Jesus sweat great drops of blood to free me from living by my labor. Jesus died in the dark so I could live in the light. Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So I could always cry, Daddy, Daddy, why are you so good to me? All that good. Jesus was pierced so I would never be pierced. Jesus was broken so I could be whole. All that Jesus did. Jesus said, I thirst, and then drank the sour wine so your teeth would never be set on edge. Remember that message? Praise God. You want to see one more? Lord just showed this to me today, and I'm so excited to show you John chapter 18, verse 11. John chapter 18, verse 11. Then Jesus said to Peter, we're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said to Peter, put up your sword into your sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Jesus never puts a physical cup to his lips. Yet Jesus is hearkening back to something that only a Jew would have understood. The obscure, unexplained story of Numbers chapter 5. Where without his acceptance and without his joy, you are forced to accept whatever accusation the devil throws your way, whether you are guilty or not. And you must drink to your lips the bitter waters of condemnation and guilt. But in Gethsemane, Jesus told Peter, the cup which my Father hath given me, I must drink it. So when Jesus went to the cross, he took the cup of accusation that you're supposed to drink in Numbers 5, where you drink the curse unto yourself, and Jesus tipped it to his lips and drank so that you would never be accused again. Praise God.
I want to thank you for listening all week long. That concludes the message, When the Bitter Becomes Sweet. Each day this week we've aired a little bit more of it, and now having come to its completion, I hope that it has been such a blessing to you and maybe an eye-opener in your life as to how to feed and what to feed on, and maybe what to avoid, what not to feed on. If you'd like to hear this message again, top to bottom, we want to give you your own personal copy of it, and all you have to do is contact the ministry and ask for it by the title, When the Bitter Becomes Sweet. We'll get it to you as quick as we can. Hope to hear from you. Have a great weekend in our Lord Jesus Christ. Be back here with us next week if you can. In the meantime, don't ever, ever forget that God loves you and Jesus is lovely.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.